Well, it's always a privilege to open up God's Word. If you could turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Yeah, so last week we had a very helpful message with Dr. Manzanga on servant leadership. Hope you remember something from that. And the whole idea of humility in those who are leading God's people and teaching God's people. But the reality is that we live in a church environment today, where we are bombarded with all kinds of Christian leaders. You know, you can drive along the road and you go past a church and you see a big signboard, the big picture of the pastor and his wife, and it looks very fancy. And you can see it on TV and you can see it on YouTube. You can hear it on the radio, and these pastors come with all these fancy titles as well, whether they've been earned or not, they have these titles. And you know, image is very important, it seems. The image of the pastor is what brings the people to the church, apparently. Well, following up on what Dr. Manzanga preached on last week on servant leadership and humility, I thought I'd preach on this passage from 2 Corinthians 11, from 16 onwards. And I'll speak about boasting in the things that show our weakness. Boasting in the things that show our weakness, because this exalts the grace of God. So let's read 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 16. Paul says, "I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hand." Carrying on in chapter 12. "I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your apostle Paul, apostle of Christ. And Lord, thank you for his example. But Lord, thank you for preserving this teaching in Scripture for us. And Lord, we pray that you will challenge us about our concept of who we are, what we can boast in, and what it means to be ministers of Christ, servants of Christ. So guide us, we pray, by your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we can ask, what kind of Christian leaders impress you? What kinds of preachers do you follow? And what kind of spiritual leader are you? Before we get into answering those questions, let me just introduce briefly Paul's relationship with the church in Corinth. It was during his second missionary journey that Paul proclaimed the gospel in Corinth. That's Acts 18. At first he preached in the synagogue, but was later forced out, so he continued preaching next door at the house of Titius Justus, and he stayed in Corinth for about 18 months. Then during his third missionary journey, Paul was mostly based in Ephesus, where he stayed for about 3 years. It was here that he wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. And by this time, there were many problems in the church in Corinth. There was division, there was abuse of the Lord's Supper, there was immorality. There were court cases between believers. There were questions about marriage and eating meat and gifts of the Spirit and the resurrection and all sorts of problems in this church. After a while, Paul sent Timothy to check up on the Corinthians, only to be disappointed by their response. And so then Paul sailed himself for Corinth for what he called a painful visit, which is recorded in 2 Corinthians 2:1. But still, Paul's painful visit did not bring change, and Paul left again from Corinth. And then after another letter, which we don't have, he finally received an encouraging report from Titus, and then wrote 2 Corinthians. But more specifically, the context of this passage is the context of self-designated leaders who were seeking to discredit Paul's apostleship. These self-designated leaders who had come into Corinth, Paul sarcastically calls super apostles in 2 Corinthians 11:5, and false apostles, deceitful workmen disguising themselves as apostles of Christ in chapter 11, verse 13. Let's actually go back and read chapter 11 from verse 1. just to see the context of Paul's boasting. He says in chapter 11, verse 1, I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I'm not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. So these false apostles were boasting about their ministry, and this was done by commending themselves and measuring themselves by one another and comparing themselves with one another. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 talks about that. Some had argued that Paul is not a good orator, a speaker, in comparison with these so-called apostles. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:10. For they say, his letters are weighty and strong, talking about Paul, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. And then Paul in verse 11 continues, let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. And then in chapter 11, verse 6, as we just read, even if I'm unskilled in speaking, I'm not so in knowledge. So in light of that, and in light of these super apostles, or false apostles, or deceitful workmen, who boast in themselves and seek to undermine Paul and his authority as an apostle, and who preach a different gospel. Let's get back to Paul's response as we find it then in chapter 11 from verse 16. And the first thing Paul does is that he reluctantly boasts as a fool. He reluctantly boasts as a fool to show he is not inferior to these super apostles. As one commentator, Wilson, says, Paul finds it distasteful to boast about himself, but the tactics of his rivals are forcing him to descend to their level. So again, from verse 16, I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if I do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I'm saying with this boastful confidence, I say not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. He doesn't want to do this, but he's doing it. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. And we can compare how Paul ends his whole argument in chapter 12, verse 11. I have been a fool. You forced me to it. You see that idea? I didn't really want to boast, but I'm doing it. For I ought to have been commended by you, for I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. Notice too in verse 20 of chapter 11, how Paul describes what is happening to the Corinthian believers under the influence of these false apostles. They are being enslaved. They are being exploited. They are being ensnared. They are being dominated. They are being humiliated. That's the kind of treatment they're getting from these super apostles. Those are not the fruits of true ministers of Christ. Enslavement, exploitation, ensnaring people, dominating people, humiliating people. That's not the fruit of a Christ-like ministry. So then Paul says how his pedigree equals his opponents in chapter 11, verses 22 to 23. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. And again he says, I'm talking like a madman. How can I even be saying things like this? Then he turns to how his physical suffering exceeds his opponents. And he has this long list of all his labors and his struggles. His far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. And he goes on through that long list of all the dangers in all the different places, all the toils, all the hardships, all the sleepless nights. And, you know, he's just saying, is this what true servants of Christ are boasting about? You know, are the people you're listening to, do they boast in these kind of things? Back in 2 Corinthians 6, from verse 3, Paul has already provided a similarly long list of, very impressive list of his sufferings as a servant of Christ. And we don't need to go through that whole list again. But if we go to chapter 6, verse 31, Paul says, "The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying." So, you know, Paul has got these massive, impressive lists of sufferings and trials and tribulations that he's gone through. And he goes on, he even says, and I'm not lying about this. I'm not just putting this on, you know, just so that you're somehow impressed with how much I've suffered for Christ. He's saying, this is the reality. It's absolutely true. He's not just impressing people with these things. The next aspect of Paul not being inferior to his opponents is that in chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, his emotional, spiritual suffering is continuous, he says. He says, apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? In Paul's case, he genuinely loves the people. And it pains him, when they are struggling or even made to fall. On the other hand, his opponents, who boast in their gifts, are the noisy gongs and clanging cymbals of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Or if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So instead of boasting of his gifting, Paul gladly boasts in the things that show his weakness. From verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. Basically, Paul is highlighting an embarrassing experience. Can you imagine this apostle who has to somehow be they have to find a basket big enough for him, and they have to find a rope, and they have to get him in the basket, and they have to clumsily lower him out the window to just so he can escape. It's not very dignified kind of way to leave a city. And he's boasting, and this is me. I'm the guy that got lowered out of a city in a basket just so I could stay alive. That event is recorded in Acts 9. After Paul, or Saul, is converted. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5, and I show you how and why Paul boasts in the things that show his weakness. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. How and why Paul boasts in the things that show his weakness. Verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, in the end, Paul seeks followers of Christ, not of himself. He wants the faith of his hearers to rest on God's power, not on human power or wisdom or anything else impressive in human terms. Paul wants people to be committed to Christ, not to certain spiritual leaders. So Paul again boasts in the things that show his weakness in 1 Corinthians 15. If you go there to 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 8, he says this. This is the passage on the resurrection and the gospel in the first few verses. But he says, 1 Corinthians 15, 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, that it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Do you see how, by boasting in the things that show his weakness, Paul is effectively boasting in the grace of God? It's not me. It's the grace of God that produces any fruit from my ministry. So we go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we have the passage on the vision and the revelations that Paul has. And he reluctantly boasts about these. Look at verse 1, chapter 12. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Wow. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. Wow, impressive. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, if you think about it, it probably came as a huge surprise to the Corinthian church that Paul was no stranger to those special experiences that the super apostles would have been very quick to tell everybody about. You know, they would jump, you know, hey, I had this experience this week and that, all these things I'm doing. God, you know, I'm special. And here Paul, after 14 years of keeping these revelations to himself, finally resorts to mentioning them, this one particular life-changing revelation experience for the good of the Corinthian church. And yet he still speaks of his experience as if it's not his own. He's like saying, I'll boast about that person, but not myself. And says again, he would rather boast of his weaknesses. But notice the point of verse 6. That Paul is speaking the truth. And most importantly, Paul has refrained from boasting of his visions because he does not want mystical experiences to somehow be the basis or the grounds of his apostolic authority. You know, if I have all these fancy visions and and this mystical experiences, that somehow gives me more authority. Does it really? It's the message, the content, the life and the doctrine that give authority to a ministry. And so finally, Paul turns even this super experience of his around, and he exalts God rather than himself. Paul gladly boasts of his thorn in the flesh and every weakness, from verse 7. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Much can and has been said about this passage. It's another sermon or two. It's a passage that has helped many Christians in their suffering. But let me just say a few things about this before I wrap up with some application. Firstly, the idea of a messenger of Satan should be understood against the background of the book of Job and what God allowed Satan to do so that Job would be proven blameless as God's servant. Secondly, Paul's specific thorn in the flesh remains unknown, which means the concept may be applied to any burden of suffering or weakness that the Lord may leave in our lives in order to keep us depending on his strength and not on our own. Did you hear that? God may leave a thorn in our lives or a weakness in our lives in order to keep us depending on his strength and not our own. Thirdly, Paul's boasting in his weaknesses and being content with insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities is not some sort of morbid, sadistic pleasure in suffering. You know, I love to suffer. Give me more. It's rather a deep sense of gratitude in knowing the sufficiency of God's grace in and through suffering and weakness. I like the way the commentator Wilson concludes his commentary on this. He says, Christ's grace is sufficient in that it does not banish weakness, but overcomes it by making it the vehicle of his royal power. None is too weak to be of service to Christ, but many are too strong to be used by him. It is because the Lord will have all the glory that he uses those who are acutely aware of their own weakness. Paul thus reaches the climax of the entire epistle in this revelation of the secret of his power. A secret whose meaning was far beyond the understanding of his boastful rivals. This secret of power in weakness, the rivals, the super apostle, have no understanding, no concept of that. For the self-sufficient must ever remain strangers to the power of that grace, which is manifested only in conscious weakness. So let me conclude the few points of application. Know this, each one. God's grace is sufficient to sustain us in our weakness. Also, Christ's power rests, as we see in verse 9. Christ's power rests on those who know they are weak and need to depend on God. If you think you don't need God's power, if you don't need to depend on God, Christ's power is not resting on you. So therefore, let us persevere in our weakness and, if necessary, boast in it, that it may be evident that the power in our lives and ministries is of God and not of ourselves. Of God and not ourselves. of ourselves. Thus, let us boast in the Lord, not men, as Paul says elsewhere. And I come back to the question I opened with. What kind of Christian leaders impress you? What kinds of preachers do you follow? Those who display power and authority and talk big about their qualifications, their gifts, and their achievements? Or those who display humility and weakness and talk big about Christ, the gospel, and the sufficiency of God's grace? And what about what kind of spiritual leader are you if you're in leadership? Well, let's be aware that godly servants of Christ will rather boast of their weaknesses than their strengths, and are content with weaknesses for Christ's sake, because they know that the power and authority of their ministries actually belongs to God. God graciously manifests His power through the weakness of His servants as they depend on Him and faithfully proclaim Christ. And the fruit of their labors will be followers of Christ, not followers of themselves. Isn't that the point? But on the contrary, false servants of Christ will rather boast of their strengths, their own power and authority, and they will find no place for weakness or suffering. Watch out for such spiritual pretenders. The fruit of their labors will not be followers of Christ, but of themselves. So take warning about the fruit of your ministry and your dependence on the grace of God in that ministry. Rather boast in your weakness than in your strength. Let's pray. Lord God, we are weak. And so often, yet in our weakness, we are foolish. Because we want to boast. We want to be seen as strong. We want to be seen as powerful and gifted, and having great achievements and great effectiveness. We want people to notice us, talk about us. Lord, we pray that you would keep us humble, and keep us rather boasting in our weakness, our suffering, our struggles. Help us rather, Lord, to be pointing people to Christ, showing them the gospel, pointing them to the sufficiency of God's power and the insufficiency of ourselves. Lord, thank you for the power that we find in Christ and in your grace for our ministries, for our lives, for everything. May we depend upon you day by day. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.